Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Stewie, can we call you Stewie?
You can give it a crack.
You're fond of Mick Jagger, then?
Oh no! I think he's.
Don't box me in.
I think he's extraordinary. No, I think he's extraordinary. I'm not a huge fan of him. I just have noticed that on a number of episodes he gets a bit of a panning from you folks, and it's like, well, you know.
Have you heard it?
Yes.
What are you doing here then?
I'm not entirely sure. Am I supposed to be here?
Here's a nerdy rock question. What's Barry Humphries and Mick Jagger got in common?
They both like to have jumper leads on their testicles. Because I know I do.
I was going to ask.
And you look like you need them now, Stuart. You've been up since three. Look at you.
Progressive rock is a genre of music that spread in plague-like proportions all over England and Europe in the early 70s, but which is now mostly under control. Artists such as Pink Floyd, Rick Wakeman, ELP, Genesis, King Crimson, Jethro Tull, Yes, and the Alan Parsons Project decided to stop writing 3-minute songs about sex to write 17-minute mini Moog solos that never led to sex. Breakups were frequent due to musical similarities.
Phil's just showing off.
Fans can still be found hanging around dark websites arguing over who played the best guitar solo ever. Some still believe that Roger Waters will return to lead them. Others can be found in the Blue Mountains, just west of Sydney, Australia. May I welcome our guest, Stuart Stormen, creator of the newest addition to the prog rock firmament. The album is The World Without. Legend has it that Stuart Stormen knows the meaning of the lyrics of every progressive rock song ever written. Hello, Stu.
I'm surprised you've got time to talk to us.
Hey, hi. This is going real well. Yeah.
No guarantees, yeah. Stuart.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Stuart, can you just say a few words on your own behalf? Thank you. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, what would you like to know, Philip? A few words. I'm not good at the interview thing particularly.
Do you play golf?
No. I live opposite a golf club. Does that count?
It'd be handy if you did.
You do?
I've got two sets of sticks I could lend you. I haven't used for a decade.
Mate.
Okay, well, without pissing in your pocket too much, Stu, I love the album, The World Without. And
well, that's very kind.
Where did you get the experience, musical and engineering wise, that led to this album? Where does it all come from?
Drums would be first, and then guitar as a kid. And then I decided to try and go work in the recording studios in London, which is where I got the knack of recording stuff. So that would have been in across the 1980s, basically.
That studio was Trident, you mentioned, which one of the main guys there.
That's putting it a little intensely. I was the T-boy there for 8 months, but by all means, talk it up. The thing with Trident is I walked through the door and said, I've come to see if you've got any jobs for T-boys or tape-ops. And the receptionist
said, can you dance?
No, she didn't say that. She said, I'll ring upstairs.
Should have been the first question.
She said, I'll ring upstairs and tell them that you're here for the interview. I thought, well, blind me, that's an interesting. Okay, we'll let that miss here go through. So I go upstairs for this interview, and we're halfway through the interview, and they say to me, are you actually supposed to be here?
Are you feeling a little like that again tonight?
It's a common feeling. Yeah. Am I really supposed to be here?
What am I doing here?
Studio engineers. Sick of the toil involved in getting that perfect mix? Slave no more with the revolutionary XY40. Simply run the XY40 across your mix and instantly have the warmth, depth, clarity and cleanness you've always been seeking. No fancy parameters, no egghead psychoacoustics. Just press the on switch and you're on your way to your first Grammy. XY40. Never be knocked again.
It was bizarre how we met. I picked up a young fellow late one night and in my job and dropped him at his parents' place. And on the way there, I was playing some music in the car, and he said, "Is this your music?" I said, "No, I'm just listening to some of this stuff." He said, "Oh, my dad's into music." I said, "Okay, well," and he says, "Can I use my phone? Can I play?" I said, "Okay, plug it in." So he plugged in this music. "It sounds pretty good." He says, "Yeah, my dad was sound guy for Paul McCartney. Have you heard of him?" And I said, "No, I feigned ignorance." I said, "No, who's Paul McCartney?" And he played me this stuff. I said, "Man, I'd love to meet your dad because your music sounded great." I don't know what album he was playing me. It was something he had on his phone. And I got an email from your wife, said that I picked up your son because I gave him my card. And one thing led to another and ended up at your studio because I knew.
You missed a little bit out there, but that's okay. My son gets home with this business card. He's really excited because he's found me a bass player because he knew I wanted a bass player. And he said, "I've met this guy. He's a bass player. He likes your music. I like his music. Here's his card." Wife's ignoring the conversation, watching TV. I've looked at the card. I'm going to hand it back. She says, "No, let's just have a look at it." And she looks at it and goes, "Oh, I know this guy." And, yeah, but turns out my wife dated Christopher Soulos 37 years ago.
Oh, no.
Which would have been after he went to school with the guy who's since been my drummer at UTS, or I don't know what the timing is there, but the guy who was the drummer on my album, he says to me, "Christopher Soulos, could he have been at..." So I'm basically the last person to meet Christopher at this stage.
Is your wife emotionally scarred in any way, Stuart?
No, but I'm starting to scar with your ever-changing name, which is probably a reference that's not going to make much sense to your viewer at home. But
can you just tell us a little bit about prog rock? I mean, would you describe your album as a prog rock album?
Yes, I would, because you could call it something these days. I mean, we didn't have genres in the old days. Do you remember that? The genre thing sort of arrived with iTunes, and you've got a box to fill that says what you are.
When you run a record shop, it is, I can tell you.
Oh, that's right. You were a manager.
I was.
Yeah. And when you work in radio, you've got to have genres as well.
Triple M. Shit.
Well, I retract everything I've said in the last couple of minutes. Prog music goes back as far as the Bible, as far as I can make out.
What was prog called in its day, though? It wasn't called prog rock.
It's clever music, isn't it? It's not all four on the floor, one, two, three. It's got funny timings and chord changes and key changes.
Well, I remember hearing that with the Jethro Tull, Thick as a Brick, just thinking it was them. I didn't think it was any particular genre. I thought it was prog. I thought it was folk, blues, and classical, which is what they were, and a great recording sound. They managed to capture the sound at last with that album. And then everyone says, "Oh, it's the beginning of the prog rock." So it's just Jethro Tull doing their thing.
Yeah, it's a name that's happened in retrospect, isn't it?
In terms of the terminology of prog rock, the reason why I just said that is because I believe that the album "The World Without," which we love, is going to be on the cover CD of Prog Rock magazine. So I think that qualifies it for prog rock.
Yeah, well, it was in January. It's been and gone. It's glory days have passed, and I'm on to the next project, basically. But I did make it onto prog, so that was a doff of the cap, so to speak. To your earlier question, mm-hmm. Prog rock, is it like Chris is saying? It's a name that they've kind of put on it in retrospect. It didn't start out that way. It's just been called it since.
Where can I hear your albums, Stuart?
Where can you hear albums?
No, yours.
Oh, where can you hear my album?
On the Spotify link that I sent to you.
Yeah, on the Spotify days link ago, that you sent me for iTunes or Bandcamp or on.
Do you want to pick this up in 40 minutes again?
On my website. What?
All right, I'll press record.
Okay, I'll try and get it right this time.
I think it's an extraordinary sounding album. The sounds that you've got and the musical creativity. I'm just shocked now that you've also got a day gig and that you've actually got time to do this as well as.
But that's becoming the norm, though, isn't it? But most people have got day gigs now because you don't make. Not many people are making money out of putting records out.
Unless you tour.
Yeah, unless you tour. And I couldn't tour to save my life and no one's heard of me, so I've ruled that out.
Touring is it's hard work.
All the wigs and the plastic clothes.
But you said the prog rock magazine. You read through about all the prog bands these days. They're all talking about their day jobs. People It's become the norm. It's a totally different world. But we just kind of keep it secret and make it like we're rock stars or something. I don't know. I think that's
could that improve you too if they get day jobs?
Well, maybe they have got day jobs, and maybe that's why they need.
Maybe they have. Improvement.
I don't like the voice after they stop turning the chairs around. It loses everything for me when the chairs stop turning around. In fact, I wish this chair could turn around.
Have you heard the name of Sophie Monk's new TV show? Sex at First Drink.
What? Wait that long?
So you know when gypsies play rock, it's called gyp rock.
Oh,
yeah, boom! Sure.
What? Oh, see, that would have been a good point to do a joke. You should have.
You didn't have any.
You could edit one in.
Stuart, are you still buying music or streaming music?
I am. Yeah. I am.
What was the last thing you got that you loved and you played for 5 days? Come on. It could be an album. It could be a song.
The last thing that I listened to that was new was an album called Truth Decay. Get it?
Et cetera, et cetera,
by a fella called Adam Holtzman, who was the musical director for Miles Davis, and these days he plays keyboards for Steve Wilson, who is the current big name of prog.
Alan Holtzman was producer for Miles. Okay, I thought
we musical director MD. And keyboard player.
That must have been after Marcus Miller then.
Strange animals, weather events, or aliens.
Blaming yourself.
Humans love to blame. We are the blamiest of blamers.
It's hard to avoid blame.
Blame God. Blame yourself. Blame me. Blame God. Blame yourself. Blame
When you're writing the songs, because even though I'm involved with a couple of tracks, when you're putting the songs together, and you had me isolated, you had me in a little sandbox, here's something I want you to work on. I didn't hear the context of what I was doing. I didn't see the big picture. I was never exposed to anything either side of the bit that I was
involved. Well, you showed up at 9 o'clock at night and left 3 hours later. When there was limited time.
Oh, so it's not a grand plan.
It was all done.
There is a bit of grand plan actually. I do like a bit of that grand plan thing. I like David Bowie used to do it, didn't he? He'd get one musician to record against the drum track, and then he wouldn't play that to the next musician while he got them to play. While he got someone else to play something.
Yeah. Okay.
So you got all these. So you got all people recording, but not necessarily hearing each other, and then you work out which bits.
I think Zappa did that for one of his albums as well.
Did so.
Where he got all the guys to play separate parts, and people said, "Oh, the communication between the musicians is amazing." And in his interview,
they never met.
They never met in the studio. Neither of them heard each other's parts.
No, but it's got some of that randomness going on where people didn't know what other people were doing.
So what did you play on the album?
Guitar, keyboards, and electricery. I mean, it's the sound engineering and vocals. But I like the electricery. I glue sounds together is what I think of myself as doing. You know, I like when music meets technology. That's where I get excited.
Yeah, there's one really great extended electronic pastiche you put together, which is great. I don't remember which track it was, and it's obviously influenced by electronica. Obviously influenced by modern studio. There is no other way you could have done that with tape. Because there's too many things going forward, backwards, upside down, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's a gorgeous break. But I actually went back to listen to an old guy called F.C. Judd, a British avant-garde electronic music creator that did all the music for a puppet show called Space Patrol. And when I discovered that it was him that did all this puppetry, I got on the internet and he just passed away and they did a big tribute of him in London. Of this guy, F.C. Judd, who was an electronics guy from the Second World War, or the Navy, or something from post-war. And it was all that cutting tape up. And he's got this recording of himself talking about how he does it. You hit a bowl, and then you take the tape and turn it backwards, and the bowl attack suddenly swells up to there. And then I release it into this one and put a bit of reverb or delay on it. And it's just this amazing early days of electronica.
Here's a sound. Produced by striking a china bowl. Now played in reverse.
But that's and Stuart, you've captured that far better than he ever did.
As long as I've captured it better than what Mike Batt did for the Wombles, that's just fine.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Oh,
you touched the nerve there with Rob. Sorry.
Really? Oh, really? What was the nerve? There's a nerve? There's a Mike Batt nerve?
One of his tribute acts.
No.
I met Mike Batt. He was in it was a photo shoot. It was Mike Batt, Julian Lennon, Roger Daltrey, and Captain Sensible standing in a row. And I thought, well, I'm hallucinating or that's happening.
I'm at a party.
I don't know.
I didn't realise you'd walked in or stayed too long.
So what was Trident known for? Elton John, Beatles, what was their famous?
Queen and also Queen also at Wessex where I worked. But it was Trident, Genesis, Elton John, Bowie, and Beatles, Hey Jude.
That's right. But Rick Wakeman was the house piano player.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Trident.
I think you're right. I mean, not when I was there, he wasn't. But
I'm just amazed that in those days, I can't even conceive it, of having a guy sitting in a room waiting for someone to call, say, okay, we need the piano. Say, okay, I'll be there in a sec. You know, it's just,
I'll put my long coat on.
Put my sequin cape on.
Let me finish this curry.
Yeah, I'll bring the curry with me. Piss those vegans off.
In my research, you mentioned that you were very influenced by being involved in the recording of the Spirit of Eden album by Talk Talk.
Yeah.
Now, in my mind, Talk Talk were just a pop band. But then I read up on this album and the recording of the album and what must have been a great wrangle going on between the record company and the band, expecting another pop album.
Exactly.
And getting this... this.
Exactly. Well, they somehow managed to... Because the album before that, Colour of Spring, was so successful, they somehow managed to get $1 million, whoa, £1 million, it must have been,
yeah,
and to keep the record company out of the studio for a full year whilst they recorded the album. And when then they let their hair down and they went and recorded what they wanted to do, which was kind of very progressive and very experimental. And the record company heard it and wondered what they'd just spent £1 million on because they couldn't hear the single. It's become a cult classic.
Yeah, it has.
I don't know that it's sold massively, but it's huge. It's a fantastic creative piece of work. But it just didn't segue out of the pop hits.
He had a great voice.
Yeah.
It's unusual,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Mark Hollis, yeah, high and not too troubled by pronunciation.
Oh, ouch, if you're listening.
Oh, it's just...
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Just kind of got that slurry thing, you know, where, I mean, I was there and I don't know what he's saying. and he's written the words out on the album cover and I still don't know what he's saying. So most of the time.
I saw the short for the upcoming Queen movie, and it's made me want to go and see a picture at a theatre, loud and big. I'm not a Queen fan, but it just looks like it'll be an exciting movie. No?
How could you not be a Queen fan?
Oh, I don't know. Just never was.
I was at the gym the other day, and the video came up of Queen, as it does, if the video's going through. I thought, bloody hell, it's at Wessex Studios. I didn't realise that they'd record... this is a studio I went on to work at. I didn't realise that they'd worked there. And I've since found out that the drum riser that we'd always put the drum kits on, so, you know, the drummer's higher than the rest of the band, the drum riser is the... I haven't got a...
Really?
No. Oh,
okay.
Talking about that. I mean, I use that drum riser... for, you know, 6-7 years, no one bothers to tell me that's the most famous, you know, what are you going to call that, downbeat in the world?
Wow.
What's the song? We Will Rock You. Rock You.
Wow.
What sessions were you on?
Pete Townsend, David Gilmour, Tina Turner.
I see you work with Dave Gilmour.
Yeah, well, I was in the room. Yeah, for sure. He's spooky. He's spooky. When he opens his voice, when he opens his mouth and starts singing, he sounds dead set like Pink Floyd.
Yeah, strangest thing.
Amazing.
It's the weirdest thing.
How long does it take him to put a guitar part down?
I think it takes him a long time. He works them out in great detail. Great detail. Yeah. He was great. And when he's listening to the solo being played back in the over the studio monitors, he's still doing the lip movements that he does when you see him playing it live. And he's saying, this bit coming up here, this bit I nicked from Synchronicity by the Police. There's a little, he's showing.
So he tells you the little bits he nicked.
Yeah. Well, he's an artist,
Rob.
You mentioned working with Pete Townsend. Was that the Face to Face album?
No, my boss did that, Bill Price.
Can I just say that drum sound on that opening track on Face to Face? What a great drum sound. Like, 20 feet high drum set.
Your boss was great, Stuart.
Well, he was. You should get him on, but he's passed. But no, he was serious. The last year that I worked with him, he worked with Paul McCartney, Elton John, and Pete Townsend. He was one of the serious dudes.
What was his name?
Bill Price. Once you wiki him, he's one of the engineers. Yeah. I mean, he recorded both versions of "Live and Let Die." And both versions sound fantastic. But you're right, the Townsend album sounds fantastic. And what's bizarre about it is that the top end, the high frequencies are so perfect, and yet when I was working with him and Pete Townsend, I discovered that he couldn't actually hear them because we'd recorded this concert at the Brixton Academy, and there's me, Bill, and Pete, and I've been listening to this track for a while, and there's this 17K whistle going through it. That's a pretty high frequency. But I realised that they couldn't hear it. I said, guys, there's a whistle all the way through this track, don't you? I mean, I think it's through the whole concert. There's a whistle. Pete Townsend, he'd been an absolute gentleman, always was, but he cracked the shits. He was embarrassed because he couldn't hear it. And we know why he couldn't hear it, because you can find the YouTube video where Keith Moon blows his kit up, literally explodes his kit in his ear. But Bill couldn't hear it either.
He had a nice voice too.
Yeah.
I don't know why he used that Daltrey chip.
He had a reasonable voice as well, but yeah, and was a bit more regular on hitting the notes.
Oh, that part. That's never worried me too much.
Oh, come on.
Just back to David Gilmour. Do you know his son-in-law, Guy Pratt?
I did meet him. I didn't know that was his son-in-law.
Bass player, played with Roxy Music, and
he married
David's daughter.
Yeah.
And Madonna.
Yeah, he played on Like a Virgin, yeah.
He played on Madonna's Like a Prayer.
I went to a speaking tour he did about 5 years ago in Wollongong, all over Australia. I saw it in Wollongong and had a beer with him afterwards. Gosh, he's done some great gigs.
Oh, totally. No, he and a keyboard player came in once, and they'd come over from doing one of the Floyd albums, and they were saying how amazing it was that they'd just been given a whole day to work out the synth sound. Because normally it's tweak, 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 record. Get the guy with the cape up from the basement and get a piano down, but...
pie's not hot.
About 10 minutes ago in this conversation, you started to go and start talking about some of the people that you worked with, and we got from Pete Townsend, Dave Gilmour, and then everyone else started talking.
Oh, come on.
So could you perhaps continue that list?
Did you feel that slap on the wrist, Chris? She's at it again.
I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
No. We're just
drunk with power.
It's raining in the boss.
I had a good run of working with bands without their main guy. I worked with Injury and the Blockheads, but unfortunately Injury
wasn't
there. Yeah.
Was Chaz Jankel there?
Chaz Jankel. Well, Chaz and all the guys. But
the Blockheads.
It was a concert that was recorded at Hammersmith that we did to video. So I got to watch them record it, and then they all came back except for your man. But Chad, which actually gave me a chance to realize just how worthwhile Chaz Jankel was. He's presumably, I don't know.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, very funky guy. Oh. And then I got to work, and then I worked with Dire Straits, but Mark Knopfler wasn't there.
Oh, really?
How does that work?
Well, they put Tina Turner was doing the Tina Turner did the vocal.
Okay.
It was on a song of his. She'd been booked into the studio, and they fired the producer who was going to use me as the engineer. So, but my studio boss rang them up and said, well, you've paid for the day, so you're going to have to come in. So Tina Turner and her manager come in with this 24-track of a song that Mark Knopfler has decided not to use, Private Dancer.
Oh, are you kidding?
And so, so we spent the day trying her voice out on it, and we're all thinking, wow, this is pretty good. This is great. And about a week later, she comes back in with the full band, less Mike Knopfler. But,
she's on a Zappa album.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's on Overnight Sensation with the Iketts.
She's following an interesting arc, because if you track her down now, she's on YouTube doing Tibetan Buddhist meditation.
What?
Shenanigans. The real deal with the resonant voices. And all
she does that.
The rest of her.
Oh, she's... Yeah.
So she's...
She's worked with everyone.
Done a few things, but she was an amazing woman.
Yeah.
Extraordinary energy.
What was she like in real life with...
Her hair was real. It's Shirley Bassey that came in without the wig, but she was amazing. They'd spent the day recording Private Dancer.
Yeah.
And then and all the guys were exhausted, and everyone's ordering taxis and going home. And she's saying, no, guys, I've got this other song that I'd like us to record, because I've been waiting to record this with a band. It's called Steel something on it. Steel Claw. It's on the album. They've never heard it. They want to go home. And she starts just jumping around the room, singing it to them, teaching them the song. And 10 minutes later, they're out in the studio rocking it out like crazy. I mean, she energized them so much. The piano player who wanted to go home. You know, the thing where you slide your hand down the piano for the, I don't know what you call that. It's probably the name. A bleeder. I mean, he cut his hand. I mean, they so got into it, and yet 10, 15 minutes earlier, they were all falling asleep. She really fired them up.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And 2 hours earlier, she'd been upstairs tidying up the dishes after everyone had a meal. You know, it's a piece of work. Yeah, lovely woman.
Is she big or little?
Height. Yeah, Rob's I didn't prepare for this.
Rob's got an Excel spreadsheet of every famous person's height.
Yeah, and shoe size, you'd lose me too. No, I didn't. I'm not ready for this.
You're just being silly now, Stuart.
and how tall are you, Stuart? Just so we can enter that in the spreadsheet.
I think I'm 5'9".
5'9".
Oh, 5'8" and a half. Yeah, 5'8" and a half.
That's sort of about Jagger height, isn't it?
Is that how we do this?
He wears heels, though.
Yeah. You guys really get it. You guys give that Jagger a hard time, don't you?
He's an amazing backing vocalist. You should hear him on You're So Vain.
Mick Jagger invented Mick Jagger. I think that's the bit that you're missing. That was an extraordinary achievement.
Got me there.
The reception rings through and says, can someone look around the studio while you're working? So I said, yeah, sure, no problem. And some guy walks in, and my recall is that he's tall, which is why I'm bringing it to.
Who was he?
Well, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know from Barasad. It's this tall guy walks in with short, really short, tufty hair. I don't know who you are, but you're clearly important because people were kind of preening around him. And then they say, can he look around the control room? Yeah, sure, not a problem. And he stands there. And I just remember him being tall and next to me and thinking, who the hell are you? But you're going to say something weird in a second. It was one of those long pauses. You've got to have something weird to say for your first line, whoever you are. And his first line was, those speakers, the main speakers in the studio, you know, I mean, you stretch your arms out, they're that wide and they're built into the wall. He said, do you ever take those speakers out and put other speakers in? He named the speakers that he'd rather have in. I mean, yeah, that was good. That was an unexpected line. Two, I'd like to tell him he's an idiot. But his voice is familiar. Who the hell is he? And basically, Robert Plant had had a major haircut, so he'd gone from right down here to up here. Now, is he tall?
Oh, ah. Oh, I don't have Robert Plant.
Oh, you don't have Robert Plant. What kind of a list is this? Oh. You make this. Oh, that list is already out of date.
You're making fun of my spreadsheet. Robert Plant's 6'1".
6'1", so I was right, he's tall. Yeah.
He's 69.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Is This Shirt Slimming? Oh. Unfortunately, we can't play any of the music that we're talking about, except tonight I believe we've got the rights to use some of Stuart's album, which is called...
Oh, that would be The World Without by SJS.
Correct.
The World Without by SJS.
I'm loving your work.
And we have been talking to the copyright bodies responsible because we would like them to issue a license to podcast, as which up to this point they haven't. That's why the music you hear is composed mainly by Christopher Soulos and a bit by myself. We'd like to thank the people who contributed to this podcast, including but not limited to Chris Parsons, Max Thrower, Hugh Wade, Bill Drake, Simon Whale, Jan Paul, Stuart Storman, Neil Rankin and Noel Somerville. You can find us at slimmingly.strikingly.com, on Facebook at Slimmingly, and on Twitter at Shirt Slimming. This has been Is This Shirt Slimming? I guess it must be a podcast. Commencing bonus extra material procedure. Because we love you. I have to tell you, Stuart, that Chris has got one of the most distinctive bass styles ever, as far as... I mean, I could recognise... I was at this community fair in Dulwich Hill one year, and I heard this police band off in the distance, and I go, is that Chris playing bass? No, it couldn't be. It couldn't possibly be. But sure enough, Boogie Wonderland by the New South Wales Police Force band being played. And let me tell you, not only was Chris playing, but... The New South Wales Police band are the only band that can make...
We're chasing it.
They're the only band who can make Boogie Wonderland swing.
That's what they do.
Everything swing.
Who are you going to call?
Everything had a little bit of swing. Poor guys. Well, without, out. S. So how long did it take you, when you're organising your sounds, do you, on your album?
Oh, I've got a note here.
What's the album called again?
The World Without.
SJS.
By SJS, yeah.
The World Without.
By SJS.
Yes. So when you're working out the sounds, do you start off with the basic idea? Do you have a picture of a track that you want to do, and then do you sort of start to construct the track by chance? You'd say, oh, this will go with that. I think that will work. Let me just push this a bit further. Oh, no, it's not working now. Let me just back up a bit. I'll leave this one. I'll go and work on another one, and then that'll work, and I can see what I've done with this one now.
Is that how you know that quite well. It changes as it goes. The other day I put a bit of guitar bit down to send it up to the drummer, Graham James. Yes. He put some drums on it. He sends it back down. I buy that new plugin from Infected Mushroom. I put that over the guitar. And now suddenly it's an EDM track, and then, it just becomes something completely different.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because something else just happened. So Graham, when he hears it next, he won't recognise it.
He won't know it was him. He'll say it's someone.
No, he'll know. He's playing the drums, but he won't know that. Did I play against that? I've never heard this song.
Graham James. That's the J in SJS.
Yes. I mean, SJS are my initials, but it turned out it was also the three guys that basically did the album, yeah.
And Skeen? What's his, not Doug?
Doug Skeen.
Yeah, Doug Skeen.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of this guy until I heard your album. It's like, how did he slip past?
Track him down. I mean, he's in a couple of bands. He's got his own band, Hermina, and he also plays guitar in a prog band by the name of Anubis. So I suppose when you asked me about prog bands, I should have mentioned them.
Yeah, but he's just slipped past the radar. I've just never heard of him. He's a great player.
Yeah, totally agreed.
Luke, what?
Anubis, A-N-U-B-I-S, yeah.
So how did you find him? I mean, it's not like your son went out headhunting like you did with me.
In a cab.
Procurement. I'll tell the story, but I don't know if Doug wants me to tell the story. But I was teaching at a college in my day job, and he was one of the students. And somehow we randomly got into a conversation about Mike Oldfield, who we were both big fans of.
Mm.
And then David Gilmour, he mentions David Gilmour, and I say, I actually got to work with him once, which didn't fit at all with the fact that I'm supposed to be his teacher of blah, blah, blah. And the rest was history. It was like with you. It was like, let's exchange albums. Let's listen.
Yeah.
And we've gone from there. And lucky on me, I've chanced on a talent. He's a very smart guy.
Amazing.
He's got the four octaves and everything. Do we need anyone? Yeah.
What he sings for?
Yeah.
Is he singing? He's not singing on the album, though, is he?
Yeah, he's on. He's got some of the backing vocals for sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yep.
Yeah.
And Graham, how did you meet Graham, the Aussie kid from
the school at which I was teaching, where Doug was my student? Graham was my boss. Yeah. and every now and then I'd be walking past the room and we'd, you know, I'd go in and we'd close the door and have a big old conversation about yes and then open the door and carry on business as usual.
And we poor just, old Graham went on to be drum tech. What a loser. What was that guy he was drum tech for?
The guy out of that band.
Was it White?
Alan White, yeah.
Alan White. Can barely put a beat together.
Well, he's slowing clumsy. Down now, but fair enough. But yeah,
clumsy. He's on Instant listening. Karma. He's on Instant Karma. Alan White's the drummer on Instant Karma.
Exactly right. Yeah, what a great story, eh?
Isn't it?
Can you come and play with John? When now tomorrow? It was get on the plane the next day, wasn't it? The story to do the concert in Canada.
Yeah, was that that wasn't the one with the Plastic Ono band? That was some other because that was also one of those throw together bands that they learnt the songs on the plane.
Yeah, I think that was Alan White. I think so.
What was the story? Hang on. What was it? I didn't hear the end of that story.
Well, I think Chris has probably got it better than me, seeing as we're.
It's been a while since.
I think he was. He somehow ended up with a gig in Canada that he had to put together very quickly. So he puts a band together very quickly, and Alan White, who would become the drummer of Yes for what 30, 40 years, was the guy that got the call. Can you play with John Lennon? Sure. When? Well, in 2 days' time in Canada. And there may be screaming. There may be some Japanese woman screaming. Can you hack it?
I know. It's the B-52's influence is ruining album after album for John Lennon, and poor old Graham ended up being drum tech for Alan White. What a loser! Both of them. Oh, it's just pathetic.
Graham's fantastic.
I knew Graham at college, but I didn't know he was such a great drummer. And obviously, we never played music together, so how would we know?
Well, and now you have. You're on the same tracks together. And there it is again. Album. Yeah, you're on the same. You're on the same tracks. Yeah, you're playing with each other.
Yes.
Can we say that? Can we say that on air?
At last.
Yeah.
What's the name of that album? Oh, World Without.
It's The World Without.
Oh, yes, yes. I had to look it up.
He's catching on. By SJS, I believe that was,
SJS, Oh, thank you. Thanks for that note. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, the back is on your screen or just mine?
No, it looks great on our screen.
It says The World Without by SJS, yeah. I'm loving your work. Yeah.
Got Alan Holdsworth on there or something, maybe, or Alan White?
Holdsman.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.